All right, everyone, I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase. And in front of me, we got some paint bottles, got some glue, got some pipe cleaners off the side here. There's some giant piece of styrofoam. And we got all this stuff because we're finishing up our gigantic monster apocalypse map on this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 2, Episode 25. We're just about the end of the year. We actually got only one more episode after this one. So, a few episodes ago, we started making some gigantic monster apocalypse maps so we could have little bigger battles, and we built some little command consoles. We also showed you how to make these things here, which are the tiles themselves. And the last thing, well, not really the last thing, but we got to finish up the day is all the terrain to go on it. Because, you know, all these tiles were just basic blank grids that you could do whatever you want with. So, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to go ahead and start off with some streets. So, we're going to build some dirt roads, some paved roads, those kind of things. Next up, we're going to do some buildings. So, this time we're showing how to build some buildings out of extruded polystyrene. If you actually want to, though, if you go over to my YouTube channel, I'll try to remember to put a link in the show notes this time. I think I forgot at least two or three times before. So, I'll try to actually put a note in the show notes. I actually put up an episode of Green Gaming where you do build projects out of trash and things. And we actually built a factory of sorts. Box over there. But yeah, we actually built a factory of sorts for Monster Apocalypse out of a little plastic thing that was a memory card, like, container. It was all annoying, you know what I'm talking about, those annoying plastic things that everything comes in, you gotta cut through or stab with a knife to get it open. One of those things, plus a little few pieces of glue caps, and we made actually a factory out of it. So that'll be on YouTube, Green Gaming Episode 6, I believe it was. But anyway, after we show you some of the building stuff, whoops, don't drop my buildings. The last thing we're going to do is actually build some little trees. These are going to be made out of pipe cleaners. I kind of actually found a neat way to do them. So I'm holding one up right now. Let me kind of zoom in here, do the best to so you actually see them. They're pretty small, and they actually look like, well, little tiny trees. So we'll get to those last. But, like I said, first we're going to start out with making some roads. So what we're going to need here is first we got to talk about the base of the roads. For this project, I went ahead and just used some basic cardboard. I'm actually using food packaging, as I often do. Mainly because it's easy to get a hold of. It's quite convenient. You don't got to buy it. You already got it, you know, after you're done eating the food. Though, the problem with this stuff is it tends to curl. You know, I've seen other projects I've done where things kind of curl up here. If I hold this guy up and I zoom in a little bit, you're going to notice the tips of the road are actually kind of curled up just a little bit, which is, well, you know, it's not a huge problem. It depends how bad it is. I mean, I've seen curl, I call it cardboard curl, gets really bad. Some ways you can deal with it are you can just kind of bend it around a little bit, as I'm doing right now, and that helps kind of get some of the curl out. Also, you can go ahead and take a gigantically huge, thick book, like a nice hardcover computer programming book of some sort would be great, and just place it down and go womp and let that sit for a while. But still, that's no perfect solution. So I was thinking about some other ways we could try to do this. Like I said, I'm going to do cardboard today, but I'm thinking about some different ways to do it. One option might be balsa wood. It's very thin, it's kind of expensive, but you know, it gets a very light, you know, like very thin layering to the actual board itself. Because you don't want to have a nice, like the roads be elevated, you know, like a quarter inch off the mat. That doesn't look very good, especially if figures got trying to stand like on the road and off the road at the same time. So balsa wood might be good in that regards. But I don't know if balsa wood will curl too much. I never tried to paint it, really. I've only used it in this airplane thing, so I don't know if it'll curl very much. But the problem is, you know, long, thin sheets of balsa wood are very, very fragile. They'll break really easily. So maybe that balsa wood might be better suited for small little squares, like when you get to the forest and kind of wooded, hilly, crappy, you know, rough terrain stuff. That might be better for balsa wood. Some other options might be to use sheet metal. This could be made to stay relatively flat. You might have to prime it before you paint it. You might think it's kind of special, maybe sheet metal paint or something. Though the downside here is it's going to be kind of hard to cut. You got to get tin snips or things like that to cut it. And it could be really sharp. It'd be kind of unfortunate to have your road along the ground here and you run your finger by it. Run around bleeding. You don't want that to happen. Because cut metal can be very, very sharp. So that might not be the best option. Another thing I thought of I want to try in the future is felt. Felt will be relatively flat. I don't know how well you can kind of paint it or flock it. You really probably can't paint it too well. You might be able to kind of flock it. I never try. So that could be another option I might look into, because felt's probably the cheapest of the three, because you can buy fairly large sheets of it. It's relatively thin. So, maybe in the future I'll try those three things and see how they work, but for now we're going to go with cardboard. So, what you want to do is take this thing we made last time, which is a little cross template where it's got lots of little crosses in it. I'm going to zoom in on it, you can see what I'm talking about. Where we print something off the computer, kind of traced it down and cut all these little crosses to basically spray paint the grid on the various terrain tiles, various board tiles, these things here. You can see it's got the cross grid here. If I were to overlay this right, you see it lines up correctly. We're going to actually use this to start making the road. So what you're going to do is take the surface that's going to become the road. You're going to lay down the cross template on top of it like this. Take it outside and spray paint so you got a bunch of little grid to work with. This way your roads will be the proper size needed them to be. Whether you want to make them one square wide or two square wide, it doesn't really matter. You will have the proper size. So I'm going to go outside, actually spray paint a grid down on this piece of cardboard. We're going to come back in and cut it out. So we'll be back in just a minute. All right, well, we're back inside here. You can see I've got the grid spray painted down on the piece of cardboard. And depending, how well the template laid down is going to determine how sharp the grid is. That's why down here in this one corner is nice and sharp. And as you get towards the top corner here, it gets really fuzzy because the grid wasn't laying down quite as well as it was down here. But regardless, it's all amount of approximate kind of things. You end up going to cover this up all up anyway. What you're going to need to do now is actually go ahead and take a straight edge, like say maybe a side of the box or preferably a ruler of some sort. Ruler of some sort would be helpful. I'm going to use this, which is a little mini DV case. And go ahead, decide not only the shape of the road, but also the width of the road. So for example, I'm going to make a short straightaway. So what you want to do is basically make a one square wide short straightaway. So start by obviously going along the length of one of the roads. You want to draw the lines in the middle of the crosses. So let me go ahead and just draw one down here quickly. That way you'll get a one square wide tile that you can then work with and turn into a full blown road or whatever you need. Pretty good, that looks pretty good right there. So, pull this thing back up. You can see now how I went ahead and I traced the line. Where is it? Yeah, it's on the bottom there. If I zoom in really close, there we go, now you can see it. I traced the road line along these two grids. That's gonna be one of the road segments. Now say if I wanted to do a turn, it's pretty much the same basic idea, but I'm going to go ahead and just, not only draw lines vertically, but also horizontally as well, and kind of make it a little right angle. Kind of pretty obvious stuff. But let's go ahead and just do that right now and show a quick example of that. I'll color this one in quickly for you. If I hold this thing up, you'll now be able to see that now I got the straightaway, and I've also got the little colored in curve right there. So let's go ahead and we'll cut those things out. All you really need is a pair of scissors to do that. So it's pretty straightforward. Just cut them out and we'll go from there. So let me hold it up here. We got two little road segments. These are going to become two dirt roads. And now we're going to also make one larger one that'll be kind of like a little highway or, a larger two-lane road or something. Because in case you're wondering, if you go look at the Monster Apocalypse maps, I didn't actually draw this one correctly. Actually, because one square is usually represented as two lanes in a road. So, keep that in mind when you're laying out your roads and don't do it wrong like I did with this one right here. But, we can go ahead and fix that now. So I'm going to go ahead and actually make a two-lane road. We do it the exact same way, but the only real difference is it's now going to be two squares wide instead of just one. So use your straight edge. Trace your lines out the way you want them. And there we go. This time we're going to cut it out again. It's going to be a little bit larger block, but that's all you really got to do. There we go. So now here's our two small pieces for the dirt road. We got the two square wide piece. Then it's going to become the kind of cement, paved road, highway, whatever you want to do with it. The last step of these roads is either apply flocking and or paint, depending on what you're going to do with them. The highway you'd probably end up painting, so in this case, you can go ahead and take several layers of gray paint. So you're going to go ahead and take several layers of gray paint, just run it over, use a smaller, thinner brush, kind of draw some white or yellow lines on there, you know, represent the line, lane dividers, direction dividers, that kind of stuff. Just make it look like a road. So it's relatively a very simple paint project. I've done stuff like this in the past. You can find ways to do that on the internet. It's pretty easy. It's several layers of gray and a few detailed lines. So that's what this guy would become, but I'm going to hold off on showing him and do that right now. For flocking I've done this stuff before. One thing I'm doing differently this time, I think I've had a little bit better success with, at least in terms of getting the thing to curl maybe, is if I were to use, say, a brown paint as a base, that seems to end disastrously and it really tends to curl. Like, if you remember from the last time I built the stuff, I'm holding up now one of the map tiles. When you put the brown paint on this and let it dry, it really curled. So, I mean, drying paint can really tend to curl. So this time I've got some clear glue stick stuff. I lost the label. It came off. I don't remember which brand this is. But it's sort of like glue stick, but it's clear. But the glue inside is liquid. So it's not like one of those solid sticks. So I'm just going to go ahead. It's got a little spongy thing on here. You just go ahead and run it along the road just like that. And then take out whatever flocking you're going to use and just sprinkle it on there. For dirt roads, probably the best flocking to use is dirt, because you can walk outside, grab it, it's easily available, all that kind of stuff. Oh, don't want a giant rock on my dirt road. You have a boulder in your dirt road. So take the flocking out. I'm using a little spoon here and just sprinkle it along the glued region. There we go, just like that. A lot of the excess is going to fall, or, you know, a lot of it's not going to stick on or fall off the side. So it's best to do this on a piece of newspaper, so you can go ahead and just kind of collect the excess stuff. So pick up the little road segment here. As you can see, it's got just a boatload of dirt on it, which, let me zoom in, is obviously not what we want, but it's got it on there anyway. So just go ahead, take this stuff and just shake it off. And the one thing nice about using cardboard is when that stuck like crap. Okay, well, this time it didn't work too well, but other times it has worked better. Maybe I should let the dirt dry out first or something. But the one thing nice about using cardboard, that in case you ruin a few parts, it actually get a brown base underneath it. So it kind of looks like, well, it's a different shade of dirt or something. Or it's like, you know, sand or some other type of earthy material. Which is one advantage of using cardboard. So, well, not sure why that failed so miserably, but I got evidence that it does work, but yeah, it's just stuff I've done before. It's nothing too terribly exciting. So that's going to be just about it for roads. You make different lengths however you want, and therefore allow you to build a road system in your map however you want to do it. Different shapes, different angles. So let me just go ahead and pour my rest of my dirt back in. And we can put that off the side over here. And then the next thing we're going to do is actually start building some buildings. So let me go ahead and get the supplies ready for that. When we come back, we'll show you how to do that. So here, we're back, ready to get started with some buildings. Some materials you're going to need are, one, what has traditionally been called pink foam, but apparently the proper terminology is extruded polystyrene insulation. So remember that. Don't ask for pink foam or blue foam, that apparently can confuse people. Ask for extruded polystyrene insulation. And it's basically some really fancy word for styrofoam-like material, which is not styrofoam, because styrofoam is a trademark terminology of some company. So the thickness is going to depend, you know, it comes in various thicknesses. It comes in really huge sheets. You actually got to buy like an 8-foot by a 4-foot sheet. When to make monster apocalypse buildings, you need about a 2-inch by 2-inch section. Yes, so you're going to have a lot of this stuff left over. So you're going to make a gigantically massive city with lots of tall buildings. Or you can actually use it to build some hills and other cool terrain features for other games. But yeah, this stuff, I'm checking how much I paid for it. I want to say an 8x4 sheet that was, I think I got a 1/2 inch or 3/4 inch thick. I don't remember what it was. I think it's 3/4 inch. Clocked in at like $11. So it's not terribly expensive, but you're going to have a lot of this stuff for such a small project, which is kind of frustrating for me. So we got that. We're going to actually use this stuff here, my other favorite stuff, foam core board. This is going to be used for the base of the building, which this stuff, of course, you've probably seen this before. I've used it tons of times. It's a two very thin layers of tag board-like material with a little bit of foamy material in the center. probably more extruded polystyrene. American thing. That'll be used for the bases mainly because the thickness of that approximately matches the thickness of the base on the actual Monster Pocket buildings that I'm holding up right now. You're going to be using white glue actually to provide a base for painting the buildings. When it comes to actually gluing styrofoam, not styrofoam, extruded polystyrene down, some glues don't really work for one reason or another. Some, like cyanoacrylates, some types of hot glues, things like that, can actually dissolve the extruded polystyrene, not only ruining the little piece you cut out, but also producing toxic gas. So that's one thing you got to be careful of. But also, because the stuff is somewhat, if not completely impermeable, caution, combustible. This product will ignite if exposed to sufficient heat and intensity. Well, maybe I should have read the warnings before I started using my hot iron to cut it. But yes, but anyway, back to the glue topic. The whole point of the glue is because it's fairly impermeable to air, which means air doesn't go through it very well. And if sometimes the glues, specifically white glues, don't get access to air, they don't dry. And therefore the glue, if it doesn't dry, it can't stick to anything. I found that this stuff here, the same clear glue I use in the roads, works pretty good for gluing the foam down. I don't think it produces toxic gas, but I didn't smell anything that's dissolving. Didn't see any dissolving dissolving extruded polystyrene insulation. Yes, that's the deal. Aside from that, we're going to use some basic poster paints to paint it up. Don't want to use spray paint this stuff. It dissolves it. That probably goes with spray primers too. It'll probably dissolve it, so we want to avoid that kind of stuff. So let's get started working on this here. What we're actually going to start with is a piece of the cardboard that we use for the roads. And the reason for this is we're actually going to build essentially a template to actually trace out the building on here first. And then we'll use that to trace out the building, the extruded polystyrene or whatever you're using to cut out the building on. And what I'm actually going to do is a neat little thing here. We're going to make a super building. Like with the other two pieces I've got here, they can be used as two individual buildings, or you can put them next to each other in the right orientation, which that's pretty close to it. Yeah, putting it in the right orientation, and then form one gigantic super building with two parts. So that way you can potentially throw monsters into two buildings at once pretty easily. Mega damage that way. So, let's try to create something big. Let's make it like a three-segment building. So what you're going to do is take an actual Monster Apocalypse building, and we're going to trace out the bases. So let's just go ahead and just basically trace out the base three times in some different formation. I'm going to use a bit of an L formation. There we go. So if we hold this up here now, let me zoom in a little bit. You can see I've got three bases there and a nice little L formation. And now we're going to go ahead and trace out the actual shape of the building. And at this point, it's pretty much arbitrary as long as it stays within those boundaries. Maybe you want to go with a nice, smooth, flat side to the base. Maybe you want to go something really crazy, some far-out architectural design. It's your choice. Your city. Do what you want. There we go. Let me hold this guy up. Now you can see I've traced out the building in all three parts. And now, what we actually want to do before we actually cut out the actual building itself, we want to cut out each of the three sections and use that to trace down the foam core board to make the bases for the three segments. So let me go ahead and just cut out the three actual bases. So there we go. Three bases. What we're going to do is sit them down onto the foam core board over here and trace them out and cut out, you know, three pieces of foam core board that are about the size of these three bases. So we'll come back in just a moment and we'll show you those. I guess I probably should say that if you never worked with a foam core board before, you basically can cut it with just about any kind of material, any kind of hobby knife. Scissors kind of work, but they can kind of damage it, so maybe use some kind of box cutter, but you know, like a hobby knife that I got here in front of me. Or even a smaller hobby knife works fine. It's pretty easy to cut, so just keep that in mind. Now we're going to actually really head off and actually cut them up and come back in just a minute. Okay, so here we are. We're back. I've got the three base is now all cut out of the foam core board. They're kind of rough. I just did a quick job, but it doesn't matter. They're about the right size, and that's all that really matters. So we can go ahead and put these guys off the side because we're not going to get to them until we cut out the extruded polystyrene insulation. And to do that, what you're going to do is go ahead and find your three cardboard templates, which I left over here. And now that we got the proper shapes of the bases cut out, we're going to go ahead and cut the buildings out so we can trace them on the extruded polystyrene insulation. So here we go. We've got our little pieces of the building here. We're going to go ahead now and trace these out and cut them out of the extruded polystyrene. Some things to keep in mind here, this extruded polystyrene stuff can produce toxic vapors. I mean, there's one way to cut it is using a hot foam cutter. It's probably what I'm going to do. So don't try to cut that indoors, and if possible, get some kind of mask to kind of protect you from the smell because it does produce toxic vapors. Also, you can cut it or, you know, sand it down using either like some kind of hobby knife or sanding or some other kind of way of cutting. But anything essentially that produces heat is going to cause bits of it to evaporate, producing more toxic vapors. So this stuff is pretty nasty to breathe in, so pretty much regardless of how you cut it, you want to wear some kind of protection that's going to protect you from basically toxic vapors, kind of like an actual paint mask. Those little dust masks you might wear to keep an old, you know, sawdust and stuff out of your face, that's not going to do anything to stop this stuff. So you need to get a nice, decent mask, which I don't have sitting right in front of me. It's sitting over there, but you've seen me wear it before in the show, where it's it has a nice little paint mask. It's got two little things sticking off the side here for filtering out the chemicals. That's the kind of thing you're going to need to when using this kind of stuff. So go ahead and trace these things out on the extruded polystyrene. And we're going to go, I'm actually going to go outside and using a hot foam cutter cut this thing out. And we'll be back in to show you how we're coming in just a few minutes. So here we are. We're back now. I've cut out the little pieces out of the extruded polystyrene. And hopefully it didn't run off really quickly and go, let's cut before I even got back to this part of the podcast. Because first off, I want to show you, here's the mask I was talking about, the little blue rubbery face mask that fits around here, and they got the two filters on either side. This is the kind of mask I was talking about when you want a nice, good mask for filtering out kind of the chemical smells. They're not terribly expensive, I should say. I think I got this guy for about $3 back at Home Depot. You do have to replace these filters occasionally, so I've done that at least once. And also, the other thing about the extruded polystyrene itself, which you can't really tell, and probably can't even tell in the video because it's so hard to see in general, is there is this little tiny amount of plastic, I guess, covering, I'd say, it goes over the polystyrene. Remove this stuff before you try to cut it, especially if you use any kind of, like, heat device. Because, yeah, plastic and heat, bad things happen. So remember, this whole thing is covered with a very thin sheet of this plastic stuff. So make sure you remove that first. With that, it's time to move on here. So what we want to do now is glue these pieces of the building down in their base. So align the base up in the same formation you had it when you cut it out. So because in this case, I am building that super building with several pieces. And then go ahead and lay down the polystyrene pieces as how they're supposed to be. So, you know, line them up, line the little halves up however they should be. So that, you know, the parts that are supposed to be touching each other are touching each other, and you know what I mean. There we go, just like that. And make a few marks on the base itself so you know where, you know, this piece is going to reside. Therefore, you got some marks when you go to glue it down. So if I go ahead and hold these things up here, what you can see is I've got little marks I've done on the extruded polystyrene. Let me zoom in a bit, and then you can see them better. But yeah, so there's little pen marks on the extruded polystyrene. Get my terms all mixed up. Little pen marks on the foam core board that indicate where the buildings are going to go when I glue them down. So like I said, I'm going to use the same glue stick I used from the roads. This stuff right here, this kind of clear liquid glue stick thing. So just apply some glue down to the foam core board and stick the pieces of extruded polystyrene insulation down on the foam core board. And of course, not only line them up with the marks you made, but also make sure that pieces assemble together like they should. And then we're going to go ahead, we're going to come back to these in a little bit once this glue is dried. And except now we're going to go on and build the trees. So let me go ahead and make sure they're lined up pretty good. So now it's time to start working on the final portion of this project, which are the trees and the rough terrain, essentially the hindering terrain. It's kind of all considered the same kind of stuff in terms of gameplay. That's probably Kyle Colin. Right on time, too. Very impressive. Hey, Kyle. All right, this is Kyle Colin. So let's get back here. What we're going to do is now create the kind of hindering, rough terrain the game uses. And we're actually going to make it out of... The base is going to be... Oh. Yeah, that's right. So what we're going to do now is go ahead and create the rough hindering terrain that the game uses. The bases are going to be made out of, surprise, surprise, cardboard. And what you're going to do is two types of this. One is going to be just a flat little piece of flocking that still has a little bit of a blue border around it to indicate that while it is like, you know, like rough terrain, there's nothing, there's no little trees on it. So therefore, when a tank or somebody moves on this square, you're going to have this down here, because obviously, with the squares that have trees on them, like this here, you can see, let me zoom in just a, there we go. Don't hit the stop button, hit the zoom in button, Jason. So if I were to zoom this guy in here, obviously the little trees in here, they look cool, but you can't have a figure standing in the square. So that's why when a figure moves on this square, what you want to do is take this tree one off and put on the one that doesn't have a tree. So just like with the roads, we're going to start by spray painting the grid, you know, down on the cardboard. And this time, instead of using black or, you know, whatever color you chose to use for the normal grids on your map tiles, we're going to use a different color. In this case, I'm using blue, therefore indicate that this hex, not this hex, this square is different from everything else, and that it grants the various bonuses associated with cover and hindering terrain, all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to go outside and spray down one more grid, and we'll be back in just a minute to keep on working on the next part. So here we go. We've got the blue grids sprayed down. Now what we're actually going to do is flock it first, because it's easier to flock the whole thing in one giant bit and do each individual square. So when you're going to go ahead and apply the flocking, we're going to use that same, you know, kind of clear gel glue stick thing we've been using the whole time. But do your best to not actually flock the blue crosses. That's what I'm trying to say. Do not flock the blue crosses. You want to make sure they're still visible. And for the flocking here, we're actually going to use some stuff which I mixed up, which is a mixture of a little bit of dirt and the traditional green flocking. So let's go ahead, run some of this down. Probably do it a section at a time, because if you have this glue down for too long, it kind of evaporates and loses its effect. There we go, sprinkle it down. Make efficiency, shake the excess off. Let's go with the next row and just kind of keep doing that over and over and over again. Get that all done, seal everything up, and as usual, take the extra flock in here that kind of got tossed on the little newspaper sheet. And, oopsie, oh boy, that's a mess. Pour it back into the container. Make sure it actually goes in the container and not on your tabletop. Let's just dump that, snap that back on there, you put that away. So now as you can see here, we've got a bunch of little flock circles, and if I zoom in closely, you can tell that the blue squares, blue squares are still visible in between them. That's what we're looking for. So we're just going to let this kind of sit off the side for right now. I don't need it right at the exact moment. And we're actually going to start working on the trees. Now the trees are kind of fun, because this is where things get really messy with your hands. You do finger painting. Yeah, no, isn't that exciting? I haven't probably done that since, like, I don't know, since you're a kid. So, let's start here first with what we're using for the bases of the trees, which are, let's get some light colors out, they work better. They're pipe cleaners, but they're the type of pipe cleaners that aren't a uniform circumference around the whole thing. So let me just take out four of them. So, I try to describe these things to you. But what you know what they are is they're pipe cleaners, but they basically go from being very narrow to very wide, back to narrow, wide, narrow, wide, narrow, wide. So they kind of have, if you cut these things in half, kind of have the base shape of a tree to begin with. So that's how we're going to actually begin. So just basically pretty much cut them first, cut all the narrow sections in half. So you have four sections to go from narrow to wide, back to narrow again. Let me zoom in and I can show you a little bit better what I'm talking about. There we go. See, they go from narrow to wide, like that. And now cut the wide sections in half. So basically you're going to have 8 little bits that go from being narrow to wide, narrow at the top, wide at the bottom. And these are going to eventually become the trees. So what you're going to find is, one, they come in lots of different colors. This is Monster Apocalypse, so it does take place on Earth. We don't have black trees, we don't have white trees, we don't have red trees, we don't have purple trees. And for crying out loud, we don't freaking have pink trees. So we got to make them all the right color. And also, they still don't, they look all right as trees the way they are. And I was trying to figure out a way to paint them, and inadvertently found a way to make them look pretty dang freaking cool. So this is where the finger painting comes in. I've got green paint over here. All it is green poster paint. Very common stuff. You can get it where, I think I paid just under $3 for this gigantic bottle. And a little paint tray I've got in front of me. Just spread a little bit down. And now what you're going to do, I'm going to do my best to describe this. You're going to actually use only a very small amount on your fingers. So just get a little bit of paint on the tips of your fingers here. As you can see, let me zoom in. I've got a very small amount of green paint on the tip of my fingers. And we're going to basically brush that with, using my fingers, brush that through the pipe cleaners. And keep rotating the pipe cleaners as you do. They go up and down a little bit. And what this essentially is going to do, not only give the tree a green color, if it didn't already have a green color to begin with, but also it's going to cause them to kind of stick together. So what I mean is the different bristles of the styrofoam, different bristles of the pipe cleaner are going to stick together a little bit. And so that, what that's going to do then is going to actually make it, I think, look a little bit better, because it makes it look like you can see a little more distinct layers to the pine tree. So let me zoom in. This is how they end up looking, just like how I showed you back at the start. They have a whole bunch of distinct layers to the pine tree, just like that. Oh. Camera's not focusing right. I need someone to run the camera, actually. There you go. So now you can see it's got very distinct layers to the pine tree, and if this was a relatively not a green shade to begin with, it would look green. Some of the things to keep in mind here, use only very small amounts of paint. Too much paint can devastate something. So if I were to go just take a whole glob of paint and mix it in this thing, it's going to come out looking like one... Oh, boy, that's me. Try to do this without ruining my remote. There, for example, here I showed you I just did a whole glob of paint on this stuff, and it came out looking like an absolute train wreck. It doesn't look like anything. If that does happen, what you can do is, using your fingers, kind of brush out some of the paint, wipe them off onto either a newspaper or a paper towel or something, and just keep doing that process over to remove paint out from this thing, and eventually you can work it back to where it's in pretty good shape. So that's the only thing you gotta be careful when you're doing this stuff with the trees, but that's the basic gist of how you actually make the trees. I'm going to make a few more here. And then we're going to go ahead and start gluing them down. I'll show you how that works. It's pretty easy. Because, surprise, surprise, you use glue to stick the tree to a base. Isn't that an amazing concept? So let me just do one more here. And what you'll find also is an interesting thing. Depending on what color you start... Oh, pine cleaner. What color of pipe cleaner you start with, you're going to get a different shade of green when you apply the green paint to it. So obviously a green pine cleaner, I'm doing terrible right now. Green pipe cleaner is going to actually end up with a green color, or something maybe like a red could get some really interesting red-green mixtures. I had a bluish one, it was an orange one, that's right, an orange pipe cleaner. Kind of gave the tree a brown look, so it kind of looked like a dead tree. So let me just go ahead and make one more quickly. And the other thing you want to kind of take notice of is that you'll notice that right now the way the pine trees are, they often have, because of the fact that the way the pipe, yeah, pine trees, the way the pine trees are, because the pipe cleaners went from that narrow width to wide width kind of a thing, they actually have a very long stick coming out of the top of them, which is not a good thing. That doesn't look very good. So once you've got the paint on them where all the bristles are all kind of stretch out the way they should be. There's my paper towel. What you're going to want to do is cut that top off. So being very careful, hold the very bottom of the tree and just cut the very top portion off that's really long. There we go. And you're going to have a nice looking tree ready to be glued down. Let's do that with the other one. You may want to try to experiment, maybe cut the trees at different heights so they're not all nice uniform looking things. There we go. So I like that. So we're all pretty much good to go there. I'm going to put the paint tray out of the way so I don't stick my hand in it. I routinely do that on a very regular basis. So let's get out our little sheet here. So we're going back now to our little set of tiles for the forest. And just all I need to do is cut out one square right now, or you can cut them all out if you want. I'm just going to cut out one because I need to work quickly. And just show you how to glue them down. There we go, so I just cut the one little square out. Stick it down on something you're going to work with. This is where we're going to use some white glue. I mean, hot glue would probably work pretty good too. The trick is make sure that the trees have a relatively flat bottom to them, because sometimes the wire sticks out a little bit below the lowest branches, and if that's the case, they're not going to sit very well. So if that does happen, snip off a little bit of wire off the bottom. Just take some white glue, make a little puddle down on the flocking, and let's just stick the tree down onto it just like that. And usually that should be enough to hold the tree in place. And, you know, maybe put two, maybe three trees on each one. Kind of mix it up a little bit, you know, make it look a little bit different. There we go. So here's what they look like right now while the glue is drying. They look just like they do, but obviously you can see the big glob of white glue at the bottom there, which is, well, it's drying, so it looks all right for now. So let's go ahead. We can just let that guy go for maybe about 24 hours. He'll be ready to go then. And you'll end up with something that looks like the little things I showed off earlier at the start. And you'll be ready to use them in your Monsterpocalypse game. That's looking pretty good. So let's see. We're going to dive back into the buildings and kind of finish up how you build those. So let me get them back out. They should be ready to go now. And we'll finish up so I can show you how to put the base coat of glue on there. And it's pretty much painting them up from there. So we'll be back in just a moment. So we're going to go ahead now and finish up these buildings. And what you're going to find is one of two things if you try to paint this. Actually, it's not styrofoam. I keep calling it that. It's extruded polystyrene insulation. What you're going to find is the paint doesn't stick very well to it. It beads up and runs off, or something disgusting like that happens. Or even worse, it dissolves it. Spray paint, other types of glues and paints I mentioned dissolve the stuff and produces toxic vapors. So now back to the project. What we're going to do is just basically take some white glue and squirt it down, unfortunately coming out very slowly, down on the top of the building. Let's see if I can get this come out a little bit faster. Come on. There we go. Let's try that. That's better. So, squirt some white glue down onto the top of the building. Using a paintbrush, just go ahead and basically, you know, paint the glue across it. And also do it for the same for the sides of the buildings. And that's pretty much it. Do the same for the sides of the buildings. Let's do this. So run some glue around the sides. Take your paintbrush then and spread it around. And what this will do is it'll basically seal the entire building inside a chunk of glue. Therefore, you'll be able to paint the glue. And Ryan wants to use the sink. So go ahead and turn the sink on Ryan's side. Alright, so here we go. So let me go ahead, dry my hands off, and show you, do a little zoom in here. So you can see here now the entire bit of extruded polystyrene insulation is now covered with a very thin layer of white glue. Go ahead and let this glue dry. It'll probably take, you know, a couple hours at least, maybe a day if you really want to be thorough. And you'll be able to go ahead and paint it up. You can paint it up really however you want. I've done a lot of little simple building painting tutorials before. If you want to go watch the one I got on YouTube for building Monsterpocalypse buildings, it's the same kind of thing. Put maybe a base layer of gray on there, maybe a few shades of gray. You know, do like a wash where you use really thin down black paint to make it look grungy. Add some windows. I've done all this stuff before, so I don't need to do it again, but it's pretty standard building painting. And the one thing nice about Monsterpocalypse buildings, they're so small scale. They can kind of look not very good. You don't have to be as detailed when painting them because they, you know, they're really supposed to be really tiny, you know, small scale. So that makes it a little bit easier to paint them if not as detail focused. So that's really about it for now. So I guess let's just go ahead and call this project done. I'll put a little picture here at the end of the video. You can see what a whole little portion of the city looks like when it's all built up. And yeah, that's looking pretty good. So we only have one more episode left for the year. of course, is going to be our outtakes episode. I mean, Ryan's excited about that. I have no idea what he's going to say this time. We're going to do something a little bit different than we did last year, but we'll still have a whole bunch of our crazy outtakes and maybe a few of the random encounters, and who knows what's going to happen. It could be an absolute travesty. But I'm going to put those all together this week, because I'm not sure if I'm going to release that show, because 2 weeks from this Thursday when the show was released is actually be Christmas. So I don't know if I'll release it Christmas night. I may end up just releasing it, you know, 1 week later. So it may come out, what's the week after? So 25th minus...
After Christmas is like New Year's.
Yeah, well, no, the week before Christmas. So the week after this episode. So what's the 25th minus the 7th minus 7 is 18th. So it might be December 18th. I release it sometime around there. Probably between 18th and Christmas. It'll be kind of a outtake show slash holiday Christmas special show. Whatever we end up doing, I don't know. So with that, yeah, so let's call it a done. Questions, comments, send them to me over at jason@rockosoftware.com. That's rockosoftware.com. Twitter at twitter.com/TT_battlefield. Ryan, yell loudly.
RMadman4!
Hopefully that's clear enough. twitter.com/RMadman4 for Ryan if you want to stalk him. So thanks for watching. We'll see you guys again in about... within the next 2 weeks, I don't know when, but we'll see you a little bit later. Thanks for watching this episode as we get ready to end season 2. So, yep, we'll see you again next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.
Copyright 2007-2008, Rocko Software, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
Get your music down with everything is by the transfer and is acquired from www.podtapebiter.com and is used under a Creative Commons license.